Right. If anyone doesn't have a handout, if you'll let us know, we'll make sure you have one. We'll finish up a section with the deacons tonight and look in next week and go into some more in the area of just leadership in general. But we'll continue tonight with qualifications of a deacon. Specific qualifications continued. And is anybody need a copy? We've got somebody there in the back and get you one if you need one. Everybody have a copy? All right. We'll go ahead. We've prayed. We'll go ahead and get started tonight. And again, please bear with me on this cough that I have tonight with this tickle in my throat. Letter A, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. This aspect of mystery, it's a truth undiscoverable except by revelation. In other words, this aspect of a deacon, the aspect of having a walk in relationship, studying the word that God reveals and shows them things as needed. So a deacon must be a man of the word, knowing the word of God. Paul wrote that he must be able to hold the mysteries of the faith. You know, growing up, again, as I mentioned, I've used my father so often. There's so many practical things my dad taught me as dropping out of high school at 10th grade. But just practical horse sense things, and simply even thinking of this, and I think of, you know, as a Christian, not just as a pastor, but we should look at our Bible as one of our tools that God has provided for us. And Dad always taught me to take care of my tools, make sure they're clean, that they're picked up after a job. Those that need to be sharp are sharpened. And the best way for us to equip ourselves, and gentlemen, we should desire and strive to be leaders in our church, in our circles, and especially for the Lord, whether we feel we're qualified or called to be a deacon or a pastor, just that aspect of leadership should be something that we strive and want to make ourselves available to give an answer, to give an account. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. See the pattern here. This system of doctrine, belief, and practice that is uniquely Christian. And a deacon needs that aspect of holding the mystery, but also in a pure conscience. In other words, a knowing with oneself, being one's own witness, the testimony of one's own conduct, born by conscience. You know, we need to be men, especially our deacons, of a pure conscience. Are we going to have at times things on our heart and things on our mind? Yes. We are. And what's the best way to resolve it is to take care of it. It is incumbent on deacons and even spiritual leaders to have at least a basic working knowledge of these truths and hold them with absolute integrity and a pure conscience. The word translated pure here means cleansed, free from any mixture with impurity, unblemished. Paul called for purity of conscience in deacons because a conscience can be warped, it can be deadened, and it can be seared. And we must be careful and cautious. You see, the only thing that Adam and Eve brought out of the Garden of Eden was a conscience. They left the garden with the awareness of guilt before God and with a burdensome knowledge of right and wrong. Conscience in of itself might be a good goad, but it is not always a good guide. Therefore, it has to be monitored by the word of God and motivated by the Spirit of God. Just a quick example and move on. When Adam and Eve realized what they had done is wrong, the goad was there, the conscience was there, but instead of going to where they should have gone to the Lord, they ran and they did what? They hid. And we need to make sure that we're running to God, to His word, when that conscience is pricked, when the word of God speaks to us, that it's not seared or changed or blemished in any way. A deacon must be one who lives by biblical convictions and maintains personal holiness. It is important, and the best way to have biblical convictions is to be in the word and know what the Bible says, know what is right, and know what is wrong. I know learning a foreign language or going to the mission field, I probably broke several laws before I learned the language and culture well. And I had a pure conscience because I didn't know. But once I knew, you know, there's some things in my life that is sin for me, Because the Lord has told me that I need to abstain from not only my conscience, but for my well-being that may not be for you, and vice versa. And we learn those things by getting into the Word. Letter B, let these also be, first be proved. That's why we talked about the DITs, the deacons in training, the aspect of being proved, set aside in training, prepared for the ministry. Back to 1 Timothy 3:10, and we'll refer back to here a few times tonight. And let these also be first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Again, it gets back to what we talked about with the pastor. Prove, to make a trial of, put to the proof, examine, prove by testing, approve on trial, to scrutinize. In other words, they should be prepared. They should be proven doctrinally, and they should be proven as to their testimony as well. It is important as a deacon that is able to serve well that they are skilled and equipped with the Word of God. They know what they believe. Now, for example, we have, what though it needs improvement, we have a church constitution and bylaw. We have a doctrinal statement with our church. It needs to be improved a little bit in some areas, not changed, but maybe scripture added. But someone that desires to be a deacon in our church, a trustee, a teacher, those involved in leadership, they should agree 100% with our doctrinal statement. If not, have the character to back away. Because the Bible is very clear in the roles of leadership. They're to be proved, but they should be proven doctrinally. They agree with us. They align with us, with our church family. He should be proven as to his testimony. He is known as a good man, a good person, and Lord willing, as a believer or a follower of Christ. Letter C, being found not only to be proved, but to being found blameless. Again, back to 1 Timothy 3:10. Let us also be first be proved, but then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Now, this implies not merely acquittal, but the absence of a serious charge or accusation against that person. It's easy to point a finger and accuse someone, but that doesn't mean that person is guilty. Just like the example I gave the other day with a woman who's brought before the men, being accused of, caught in the act of adultery, though the man wasn't drug in, she was. But before it was all said and done, the Lord gave the example, and he says, where is thine accusers? Because by law and by the culture, there had to be witnesses. And sometimes people are accused of things that just aren't true. I think we've all been at that. But this aspect is not that someone was accused of or someone thought about it, but it was not proven. They were acquitted. There was the absence of a serious charge. But then also a spotless testimony. All charges to be found without foundation. Being found blameless. Letter D. Even so must their wives, verse 11. Here's one I think I'm afraid of that is thrown out too often. As I mentioned before, we helped churches for almost 5 years before settling here and deciding that we were had enough stress on our life of all the ins and outs of helping churches going through struggles. But one of those things, and one of the things that we had some headbutting with, is with wives of deacons who were disqualified because of their wives. Ladies, your husband may never be a wife. Excuse me, your husband may never be a deacon. Hope he's never a wife. Oh, he'd be disqualified for sure. But a little tongue-tied here. But you should strive to set a biblical goal of wanting to be a good wife for no matter what role your husband plays in the church. And the Bible says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Again, every young lady, every woman should strive to meet this standard to honor the Lord. But we had some difficulties in some churches we worked in where one of the deacon's wife wanted to come to church when she felt like it. And she didn't feel like it almost every Sunday evening. I think it's important, that faithfulness, that aspect of being involved. It says here these four words. It's grave is the first one. She's to be serious-minded. And we talked about this as well with the pastor, and I think the pastor's wife should have no lesser standard than the deacon's wife. They're to be honorable, dignified, and steady or consistent. We see the word, or the phrase, or the two words, not slanderers. In other words, they're to be dignified, not malicious gossips. or just gossips, period, malicious or not. Free from fault finding. It's always easy to point the finger. Daddy always told me, you point a finger, you got three so pointing back at you. Be careful. Make sure we have the facts, the information. Be an encourager, not a slanderer. Be grave, be sober, be faithful. That fourth thing, faithful in all things. You know, to be trustworthy. So as we look into setting aside deacons in our church down the road, remember, it's not just the husband, but also the wife. And are they willing to serve? Because I will ask the wife, do you feel like you meet these qualifications? Are you comfortable with your husband serving? And if there's any delay, as far as I'm concerned, that's my answer. Let's move on. Letter E, husband of one wife. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, willing, ruling their children and their own houses well. Wow, this is a category that is heavily debated, argued, and won back and forth. And I'm going to share a few things. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, and we're going to move on. But I will say this. I hold the highest standard for the pastor. Though I may see a little leeway with deacon, and it's another conversation, but let me share a few thoughts. Here's the extremes that I've read and I've heard and I have had discussions with others. No divorce and remarriage, period. Death or no death, no remarriage if there's a divorce. I've also had the phrase and the thing pushed that they must be married. Single man can't pastor, single man can't be a deacon. That's what it says. That's an argument. I'm not saying that I agree with it. Both can be argued for or against. Now, let's keep something in mind during this time of the culture. Polygamy was common during the time, and divorce prevailed among Jews and Romans. Very common. The law allowed for stoning for sexual sins, which freed the remaining party to remarry the next day. Anybody want to go out back for stoning? We'd be put in jail. We don't live by that law, the custom, or the culture of that time. Right now, we live in a society where I think divorce and remarriage happens too quick. I think divorce happens too quick. But also know that it happens. And also know sometimes I can sympathize and understand. What young lady, what older lady wants to live with someone and she lives as a punching bag? Whether it's alcohol, drugs, the abuse, adultery, all those things at one time in the history of our world, they were taken back and stoned, and the innocent party was free to remarry. Abandonment. I had a lady in our church in Germany. Her husband abandoned her, a young German girl with three children as a soldier. He got out of the military and went to the Philippines and hooked up with a young girl over there that he met online and got married, never heard a word from them again, and I guess they allowed it over there where he was at. I contacted him and asked, are you going to do the right thing? Are you coming back? He said, no, I've already remarried. I have my life here. And she had to, by law, go before the German court and request a separation, a divorce, a year, and then wait for a year for it to be final to get any type of aid or help or anything, because she was a single mom indeed with no family to help her whatsoever. She was abandoned. Now, I'm not going to get into an argument with you about these things. I think as a church has to make an agreement. Any church I come into that's had a set standard, I've abided by it. Anyone that hasn't, we've had discussions. But I think this is a very controversial thing, and I don't know about you. There's no doubt in my mind as I read this that the deacon must be a loyal husband, preserving and protecting his marriage. He's to be an honorable man. Again, this topic can be argued with many different viewpoints, and I hold to the highest standard for the pastor. And we live in a world that continues to wax worse and worse and worse in the world that we live in today, and it makes it difficult. We'll move on. Letter F, ruling their children and their own houses well. Verse 12 of 1 Timothy 3, 12b, ruling their children and their own houses well. Having their families under willing control or rule, and happy that it is so. All of us know what it's like to have a rebellious child or to be rebellious themselves. My dad served as a deacon. After all the kids were gone, he wouldn't do it. Not that he wasn't necessarily qualified, because I tell you what, he did rule his house well. We didn't do what we wanted to do. Though a lot of times we sought forgiveness instead of permission, and we paid the price. But then again, it's ruling your home. There's a difference between having a struggling child. I have a missionary friend on the field now, I won't share his name, and he is a great guy. He is a Greek. English is his second language. And talking about a preacher and someone defending the word in the Greek, I'm telling you, he's an incredible man. He got saved. Guess who's the Orthodox priest in his village? His cousin. And at times, he got saved. He was supposed to be the next priest. He took a trip to California to visit family and trusted Christ and came back and said, I can't do that. I'm going back to California, going to Bible college. Came back to his village, island, and started a Baptist church. And he's been at it for years. But in his prayer letter, he wrote recently, please pray for my teenage son. He's in a dark place. He's having a difficult time. He's doubting his faith and his father. I'm doubting and wondering if he really, truly trusted Christ. That was very hard for him to write that letter. But he wanted the prayers of his supporting church. He got some criticism from some. But not for me. He got a letter of encouragement. But he's doing all that he can to help his son. And he's doing the right thing. It does not disqualify him from ministry. He is doing what the Bible says in the area of correcting and making things right. And he's asking for prayer. The Lord knows who he is. If you think about it, just pray for him. Having your family under willing control or rule, and happy that it's so, but also presiding over the home. And then we'll third part here, and we'll look at a couple of passages of scripture. Deacons are never instructed to rule the house of God. Their place and their role is to serve the pastor's table, the Lord's table, and the widow's table. And in doing that, and we'll get to that a little bit more later, they have that aspect of but they're also there with the right spirit to give the pastor the accountability that he needs and that he should ask for. And by the way, folks, I have asked for. That it's good to have that as a pastor, but that the attitude of a deacon is to serve. And we'll get there a little further here in just a moment. And rule in your house well. Let's look at those verses. We'll go through them quickly and go to the next point. 1 Timothy 3:5, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? 5:17 in 1 Timothy. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hebrews 3:13-7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Dear friends, you are to be thankful for a pastor and a deacon who will go to you in discretion and privacy and confront you if you know and they know you're doing wrong. It's easy to get upset, but the right attitude is to be thankful that they love you enough to ask you about it, to confront you as needed with scripture in the right and the loving way. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They are concerned about your spiritual well-being, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief or that is unprofitable for you. A letter G, an honest report. Acts 6:3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who may we appoint over this business. They are to be well spoken of. And by the way, in chapter 6, this, as far as service and serving tables and serving, the same word is used there is used in description for deacons as well. So we can kind of piggyback off that and see some of the requirements there. They're to be well spoken of. They're to have a clear testimony. They're to be full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, spirit-filled and spirit-controlled. Allowing the Spirit of God to rule in and through your life. Letter H, they are to be full of wisdom. Again, Acts 6:3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. In this passage of scriptures, the aspect of the serving, and we look at it serving those 3 tables, the pastor's table, the Lord's table, and the widow's table. And we as a church look at the ordinances of the church as being the Lord's Supper and baptism, and how a deacon, a good deacon with honest report, a good deacon who qualifies in this area, who's full of wisdom, will also recognize and see as they assist the pastor in ministry. I'm grateful for the years I've had some good men in our church, as we do here, in serving the three tables. The pastor's table. How does a deacon serve the pastor's table? And we'll get to this again toward the close, but I want to put it in here as well. You know, how can the deacon lighten the load of the pastor? We know that serving the Lord's table, they're partaking in helping and serving the Lord's supper. They're serving and helping and laboring, helping widows who are widows indeed, but also serving the pastor's table, that the pastors can be free for study and those other things that are needful in shepherding in the ministry, so they can lighten their load. Lightening the load can be taking on some administrative duties. Lightening the load can be helping with a visitation, like having our deacons list, where we have our deacon care groups. That is lightening the load and helping the pastor, keeping him informed. At times it could be teaching in the church, a Sunday school class, filling in on a service when and as needed, and being involved in discipleship. That is lightening the load of the pastor. And there's some other areas that can lighten the load of the pastor. It's care for his needs. Just like you have needs, your pastor and his family has needs. We don't have as many as we used to, as we don't have the children at home, but there's other needs. A pastor like you has financial needs. I believe that's part of the Lord's table and responsibility of the spiritual responsibility of deacons, is making sure the pastor is taken care of financially, physically, as well as mentally. Physically, in asking the question, one of my deacons asked me tonight, "Pastor, how you doing? How do you feel? You all right?" Why? He's doing his job. He's asking, he's inquiring, "How are you doing? Are you getting enough rest? When's the last time you lay down? When's the last time you turned off your phone?" Those are some other questions I get asked on occasion. And also the mental aspect. Ladies, you know what your husband looks like when he's stressed. Gentlemen, you know what your wives look like when they're stressed. Some of you also know what they sound like when they're stressed. We all hit a limit at times that we need a little, let off a little steam, to have a little activity. I had a family in our church recently call me and talk to me and said, "Preacher, you need a day away to have some fun. Let me and the wife come pick you up, meet you somewhere, and let's go do something fun. When can you do it?" And they're not even a deacon. But it's the aspect of serving the pastor's table. And we need to do the same thing in our congregation once in a while, also for our deacons. Even those who are serving in other areas of teaching, work with our kids, and hopefully, Lord willing, teens and singles ministries, of how they're doing, because it can be tasking. And here the Bible is clear in the aspect of the role of the deacon in serving and preparing and helping the pastor's table. A working knowledge, as I mentioned, of the Word of God. Men of spiritual experience. And then a couple thoughts in conclusion. Deacons are to be spiritual men. I know it's kind of a conclusion, spiritual men. Another passage, Hebrews 12:28. "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." You know, if we filter through our thought of our mind before we say things, before we do things, the aspect of being godly, reverence, and godly fear, it would probably help us keep our foot out of our mouth, wouldn't it? That aspect of godly fear, realizing whoever I'm speaking to, how would I receive it if it was spoken to me or to my spouse? Deacons are to be spiritual men, but also deacons are to be serving men. Right back to where I talked about serving those tables, helping their church and their pastor, and making sure they're able to function to their full potential. Acts 6:2-3, I'll go ahead and read those again. "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this," what does your Bible say? Business. The business of the church. The business of what needs to take place in the ministry and going out. To make sure that the pastor can do the things he needs to do, as they said clearly, why should we leave the Word of God to serve tables? Most of you know me long enough, you know, I'm out here pulling weeds, not having a weed party, pulling weeds. I'm out here doing other things as needed. I help here at the church, but there's also times that I need that for the physical and for the mental, but there's also the time that I need to break away for study. And that's why I have 1.5 to 2 days of study, office days of study at home, that I don't have the distractions that I would have here at the building. And I have good men that are able to help me, and that's the role of a deacon. So think about those things. 1 Timothy 3:10, and we'll finish. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. In verse 13, for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, the Bible also tells us we should lay hands on no man suddenly. The Bible is very clear on qualifications of a pastor, of deacons, and I believe that those who want to serve in the church should strive to meet as many of those guidelines as they can as they serve the Lord. In other words, to step up. I'll give an illustration. You're sitting here in the congregation, and in my view, and I've shared this before, I listen to music at home that I would never have in the church. Not that it's worldly, and I don't listen to AC/DC and Pink Floyd, and some of you have no idea what I'm saying, but some of you do. I don't. What I'm saying is I believe many are offended by a lower standard, but few are offended by a higher standard. And I try to keep in my mind when I come into church, before I was ever surrendered to preach, I was taught. Think in your mind, if you take that first step going up on the platform, that you've just entered a higher standard. You're representing the Lord, you're representing your church. And ask yourself, am I willing to meet that standard to stand up for the Lord before my congregation, before my church family, before those who may be visiting and taking that next step up on the ladder, that next step up? And that's why so often when I worked in previous churches, we often would have men in our church that I felt that always probably could dress a little cleaner. In other words, I had one guy come to church that looked like he slept in his clothes, or put on his clothes where he painted the house on that Saturday and came to church. And, you know, I'm glad he was there. He's hearing the gospel, didn't say a word. I had others that probably could have combed their hair a little better, looked a little more professional. And at times, guess what? They took up the offering. They did a few things in a small congregation. And then after a while, they came to me and they began to say, "Preacher, I was a little uncomfortable taking up the offering." I said, "Well, why?" "Because I'm collecting the offering of God's tithes and offering, and I really wasn't dressed for that." I said, "Oh, really?" See how the Holy Spirit took care of that for me? And it was stepping up to the next level. So several weeks later, he came back to church, and he had a nice pair of slacks on and a collared shirt. Probably overdid. I was fine with just being cleaner. And he come in and said, "Well, preacher, got paid. I went out and bought me a pair of slacks and a shirt. You think I should have got a tie?" I said, "No." He was wearing a pullover with a collar. I said, "No, you didn't need a tie." I've seen guys with a pullover shirt and a tie on. And it wasn't for long they came back and said, "You know, I'm enjoying serving the Lord. I read in my Bible, where you were challenging me to read my Bible, it talks about being a doorkeeper in the house of God, in the tabernacle. You think it'd be all right if I open the door for people next week?" Just getting his word, the Holy Spirit working in his life. To me, common sense as I grew in the Lord. But it wasn't long after that they wanted to find out what else they could do. And I said, "Well, now's a good time to find out about rules and guidelines and what the Bible says about leadership." But every one of those who ever came to me asking what I needed to do to take the next step, not one of them ever said, "I'm not willing to do that." Because they already had the frame of mind of desiring. God put the desire there. They wanted to find out what they needed to do to serve the Lord. And my next question was always this: is this something that you want to do? Or is this something God has spoken to your heart about? And they would say, "This is something I want to do." And I would say, "Well, come back when you're sure that's what God wants." And when they would say, "This is what God wants. I have no doubt this is what the Lord wants for me." Then I would say, "So you're ready to take my guidelines without knowing because God said do it?" "Yes, sir." I've had never had one to say, "Well, I can't do that." Never. Now, some that wasn't sure thought they wanted to do it, but wasn't sure that's what God wanted. They some of them weren't quite sure. What I'm saying is, stepping up in standard, whether it be pastor, deacon, lay leader in the church, a deacon's wife, we should keep in mind, frame of mind, when we come in the house of God, we step up on that, whether it's teaching, preaching, leading the music, singing the choir, as that we're taking a place of representing our Lord, representing our church, and we do want to do all we can to make sure our temple is clean. Spiritually minded, getting the word, confessing our sins, knowing, Lord, I have nothing, no ought against a brother, no ought against a sister. I'm right with my Lord. I'm right with my pastor. I'm right with my wife. I'm right with my church family. I'm right with my family. All those take responsibilities as we step up in leadership and service for the Lord. And again, I'll say this. Every man, woman, teenager, young person should desire to be used of God. So why not look at the guidelines and say, Lord, I'll do my best to meet them. I'll do my best to meet them. If you call me to preach, I'm already doing it. I'll keep doing it. Lord, you lay on my heart. I'm qualified to be a deacon. I'm asked to be a deacon. I'm already doing it. I'll just keep doing it. And that you're already on the right pace. And believe me, there's a lot of good men out there serving the Lord. A lot of wonderful young ladies out there serving the Lord. The Lord never called to missions, never called to preach, never called to be a deacon. But God's using them because of their biblical leadership and their desire to be biblical leaders. Let's pray. Father, again, we come before you with thanksgiving and with grateful hearts with the privilege of being here tonight. We pray that you'd bless the word, bless the reading of the word. Help us as we continue to study and look at the word of God in reference to leadership, whether it be pastor, deacons, or leadership in our church, whether it be men or women or young people. Father, that we take those responsibilities, asking you, Lord, are you ready for me to take the next step of service, the next step in learning to be a leader and being used of you? Father, help us to know your will for our lives and help us to accept it, help us to move forward, but help us to strive and to prepare ourselves that you could use us no matter what the Bible says about qualifications. Lord, that we keep ourselves clean. Now, Lord, we love you now. Dismiss us with your love. Help us now, Lord, as we fellowship and spend time together as a church family before we go home. Give us a wonderful work week the rest of this week, Father, and give us a wonderful Lord's Day, Father, and help us today, this week, to ask somebody, invite somebody to church as we celebrate the resurrection of our Christ, of our Savior, the greatest comeback. And may you do your will on that day, and we'll be careful to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you.